So this story, I don't know. I read it. Yeah, I'm not taking responsibility, okay? I just read it. Remelech Biderman says the following story. There was a person who had to... he was marrying off from Eretz Yisrael, and he was trying to marry off his daughters, and he was financially a little bit challenging. So he got... listening, when he went to America to collect some funds. And he went from... he went to one particular house, and the very wealthy philanthropist there called him in, invited him in, and when he asked him what it's for, he started talking, he starts screaming and yelling at him. He says, why don't you just go to work? Just work for a living. Why not, why are you going around schnoying from people? Just lift up your sleeves and get to work like a man. And you're screaming and yelling and everything, you know, do something for... And the guy was just completely quiet. He didn't answer back. Didn't respond. And he was getting very... This philanthropist was very rude. He was a bit personal, very rude. What are you good for? And he was very... I never met him before. And he was being so incredibly rude. But him, he was just the needy individual. He was just being quiet, calm. And he didn't answer back, didn't say anything. And then after this whole long thing, he says, what is it for again? He says, listen, I'm marrying off my... All right, okay, good. $300. Gives him a check of $300, which is quite a substantial amount, I suppose. And he gives him $300, and he says, off you go. Anyway, as soon as he left the door, and left the house, he called him back. He said, hey, can you just come back? Can I just ask you something? And I screamed at you and yelled at you for 20 minutes straight. Can you just tell me how come you had the mental... strength, just listen to me without answering back? I wouldn't manage. I screamed and yelled at you. I was a bit rude and everything. How come you didn't answer? So he pulls out the letter, he pulls out a little booklet, and he says, this is Kuntos HaShemes, the booklet that you give out with all the names, where you're meant to, the poor people, to give out these lists. If you collect, which addresses to go to, where you go out. And he says, by your name, it says, go in. He's going to scream and yell at you for 20 minutes, and after he's going to give you $300. So I was prepared for it. I was prepared. I knew you're going to scream and yell and shout at you after getting $300. So I knew it was worth it, and he walked out. So Amal Chmidaman writes in a safe, and he says, why don't we sometimes have the same mental approach and attitude? When sometimes things are a bit difficult and sometimes we want to give back, we want to answer back, we want to scream back, we want to give back. He says, by just being quiet, we're going to get much more than $300. By just sitting on biting our tongue, said that as the Vilna Gaon says, he doesn't say that, but that's what he means. The Vilna Gaon says, whoever is able to close his mouth and not answer back and not scream back, he gets tremendous, tremendous, tremendous chusim, tremendous cha in the olam ha'emes. So he says, worth much more than $300 than this philanthropist gave him. So this is what the Malach Biderman shares, and I think it's a worthwhile consideration next time people are a little bit offensive or rude to us. Rabbeisa, we're carrying on in Hilchos Tisha B'Av. I will be honest and open. I cannot claim that I have full understanding in this halacha. I don't fully understand it. Maybe together we'll figure something out. When it's in Tov Kuf Nun Dalet, and we are in Sif Yud Aleph. So the halacha is as follows. Stephen, are we on?
I'm here, yeah.
You're good. And Jonathan, are you on? Good evening.
No, I'm on though.
Oh, hi, good evening, good evening.
I don't think Jonathan's on.
I was just thinking.
Jonathan's not on at the moment.
Okay, well, by the way, who's doing Thursday? I forgot to check. Stephen, are you doing Thursday?
Me?
Right, that's right. Yeah, looking forward. Yeah, okay, good. Okay, Sif Yud Aleph. Le'ach shenikev yodov adayin la'achos k'tzas. Halacha says as follows. After washing your hands, and your hands are slightly wet and moist in the morning from washing your hands, we discussed you can wash them in the morning because of the Ruach, we discussed. So Sif Yud Aleph tells us, pardon? You can clean your eyes, that's it. Le'ach shenig, if yodav adayin le'ach says a bit wet, ma'aviram al einov, you can clean your eyes as well. If you may lifluf al gabi einov, if there's a bit of lifluf, a bit of that kind of Yeah, that kind of thing. So it's, you know, you tend to wash it off with a bit of water. You can do that, you can wash them off like every day. You don't have to worry about it. Why? It's considered dirt and mud. To wash in a regular way. You do not need to worry about it. Okay, you know what? This I'm fine with. This I'm fine with because the idea is what? The idea is that Tisha B'Av.
Yeah,
if you do it every day, you can do it on Tisha B'Av as well. Okay, I'm fine with that. That's in line with the Netilas Yadayim that we discussed, you can also do. Okay. Perhaps a bit more difficult to understand is the following. If somebody wants to hear his teacher, his mentor, his Rebbe, he wants to hear him. Or he wants to go towards his father. Or he wants to go to somebody who is greater than him. That's always based on the assumption that he thinks there's people greater than him. So, yeah. So he goes to somebody that's greater than him, or his teacher, or his father. Or let's talk a mitzvah, or for purposes of a mitzvah, he's got to travel, and there is a river that he needs to go through. And inevitably, he's going to get sopping wet when he travels through the river to do his mitzvah, to greet his father, to go towards his mentor. He's going to get sopping wet. He's going to go through Al Tzavoroi until he reaches his, it's quite a river. In the river, he reaches all the way to his neck. It's actually quite dangerous to go through such a river, no? It's not recommended. But okay, he's desperate to do this mitzvah. He's allowed to go. He's allowed to do that. And also on his way back, he's allowed to do that. So go, get wet. You're going to go through the water. It's not a problem. And it's fine. Says the Mishnah over here. Even on weekdays, it's not really a mitzvah to listen to teachers on Tisha B'Av. It's not really a mitzvah to go to your father on Tisha B'Av. It's not really a mitzvah to go to your mentor and to your Rebbe on Tisha B'Av. You don't have to. Why did you have to do it today on Tisha B'Av? On Tisha B'Av, you want to go to your teacher. Why don't you wait till tomorrow? Why don't you go yesterday? Today you want to go, and today you have to go through the river. Get sopping wet. The answer is, yeah, he wants to. It's still a mitzvah. So he can do it. So although it's, I suppose you could argue, could do it before, could do it after, but yet there's an element of mitzvah in it, so he may do so.
The problem is, you can't work, you can't learn.
So you want to do a mitzvah?
You have to do a mitzvah.
Yeah, you know, that's a very good pshat. There's very little you can do, so I suppose you want to do at least one mitzvah, you go to your Rebbe. It's interesting because I never heard of anybody actually, you know, people go to their teachers on Chol HaMoed, to go to the teachers or to the Rebbe's on Yom Tov. I never heard anybody actually doing that on Tisha B'Av.
Why can't you do Bikkur Kol and things like that?
Yeah, you could. There's one slight problem, which is that you can't say Shilah Sholem. You're going to see that in a different halach. You're not allowed to greet somebody. You're not allowed to say hello. You're not allowed to. So there's a practical problem. But besides that, you could actually, of course you can do. Of course you can. You can. Yeah, it's a good idea. Somebody's got a field with fruit and he wants to go and guard it and look after it. He wants to look after his fields. The equivalent nowadays would be that what? That you've got a warehouse. And you want to look after the stock, that everything is safe and sound. You're allowed to go, even if you're going to go through water. You don't have to worry about it. But on the way back, there will be also. So here is definitely a chiddush. You're allowed to go to your warehouse. You're allowed to go to your fields. You're going to get sopping wet and you're going to get clean. You're allowed to do that. Why? So before we learned to do the mitzvah. I hear that. You don't have any other mitzvahs to do. You want to greet your teacher. You want to do a mitzvah. But here, all you're doing is you're safeguarding, you're protecting your fields. So don't go and check your potatoes on Tisha B'Av. Don't check your potatoes. Don't check your Amazon stock. Don't. Interesting is also, on your way back, you may not go back. So on the way there, you're allowed to get wet and clean. On the way back, you may not. When it came to the mitzvah, you're allowed to go both ways. When it comes to the checking your vegetables, you're not allowed to fields, you're not allowed to go back. Pardon? You have to wait until after Tisha B'Av. Why is that? What's the difference? Sifkotn, Mishnah Berurah explained the third wide line. Sifkotn chavei lishmoy peroisav veitiru bezem ipnei hefsed mamon. You're allowed because of financial loss. The heter is a different heter. The heter of financial loss. Farken bechazor delekim shum hefsed over here on the way back. You know, it's not nothing to do with financial loss. You're just going to get back safely. You want to be back in your comfort of your own home. Also, it's going to be also. So here it is. When it comes to a mitzvah, you're allowed to do both ways. When it comes to financial loss, to prevent financial loss, you don't have to go the way there, you don't have the way back. Says the Mishtibu in the earlier, if you wouldn't be allowed to go there, you're not going to go in the first place. If you know, I'm allowed to go to my Rebbe, I'm allowed to go back, you're not going to bother. You know, it's a bit similar to the Hatzalah Heta. People on Hatzalah, they're one of the crucial machlokes of Moshe Feinstein with other poskim. His Hatzalah drivers on Shabbos, allowed to return by car or not? Are they allowed to go if they ever call out to the hospital? Allowed to return by car on Shabbos? So the argument that you are allowed to, Kamal says that if you wouldn't be allowed to go back, what's going to happen next Shabbos? No, you're not going to find the Hatzalah member who's going to take people to hospital. What, I have to stay there till Matzah Shabbos? Forget it, I'm not doing it. So therefore, in order to prevent that thought process, you have to go back to enable people to go there in the first place, next Shabbos. So here as well, similar to that, we're allowed to do the Dvar Mitzvah both ways to ensure that he's going to go. However, in terms of financial loss, we're only allowing the way there, but not the way back.
But Rabbi, also with Hatzalah, it's not only for the next Shabbos, they could have another call on the same Shabbos.
That's very correct. You're 100% right. Absolutely correct. That's the Cheshbon as well, and the boys can speak about that as well. You're right. Yeah, you never know how many are on duty and how many are available to take the call, and therefore they it's another Cheshbon that the boys can allow that. Yeah, you're right.
Because they have don't have a non-Jewish driver anyway.
You're right. That's another discussion. Let's not go there now in terms of the Jewish drivers. Yeah, okay. Okay, Rabbi says, if you tell it. Somebody who now does travel and his feet are... Now, I don't have to translate keyos. How are we going to translate keyos? Somebody who does travel on Tisha B'Av and his feet are...
Tired.
Weak. Yeah, but this is not eyes, this is feet. But yeah, it's the same idea. The feet are heavy, weakened. What's that?
Ache.
Yeah, absolutely. So now, muta lichoitz bamoyim. You're allowed to wash your aching feet on Tisha B'Av in water. Why? Says the Mishnah Berurah, Hainu, says the Mishnah over here, Sivkon Chavov, Hainu, show you Ayofim, they were tired, Machmastoich Hadech, because remember those days, people used to walk. Do you remember that thing, walking? So, you know, before there was cars, you know, that walking thing? So people used to be very, their feet used to be exhausted. So what do you want to do with exhausted feet? Shoes also, footwear wasn't as comfortable as ours. So what do you do after a long walk? You travel for 6 hours, 8 hours straight. You put them in water to heal your feet. You don't do that as an enjoyment. It's a medical purpose, it's permitted. Now here, I really, really struggle to understand this, Abba Isai. To me, there is no greater tanuk. See, why is this permitted? It's called medical. It's not medical. He's walked for 8 hours. I understand. Blisters. I understand. It's swollen. And his feet are hurting and he's in pain. But you know, he's gonna survive with that. What is he doing? He's allowed to put his feet in warm water, cold water. I don't know what water is good. Why it's considered a fool?
Today,
pardon?
But today that wouldn't apply because
why?
You don't walk like me. So then it wouldn't apply today.
You're right.
So
but what if somebody? What I'm understanding of here, what I'm not understanding is that why this is to me considered tanuk. It's as if you'd say, imagine, yeah, somebody's had a really long day at work, and you schlepped a lot, and you schwitzed a lot, and it was a really physically draining work, really draining. Even you're finished, you're exhausted, and you want to have a bath, or you want to have a hot shower, whatever works for you. So I would have said, there is no greater tanuk than that. That's precisely what Chazal forbid. I would have told you, that's exactly what you're not allowed to do. You're enjoying this. It's really like giving you a physical, how should we call it? It gives you a physical relief, relaxation. And the Shulchan Aruch says, no, you're allowed to do this. Why? Because it's medical. I don't understand this.
See, Rachel, your kavanah is not for the tano. The tano is just incidental. The kavanah is for the refuah. So it's like a see ratio, isn't it?
You don't use that for what's less than you don't use that for. You don't use it for. You say you wash nagel vases, it's not for tano. You don't say that for.
So what are you pointing out? That why is this so over here? What?
So he's saying it's not like that. It's incidental about the master.
Ah. You're saying that we don't say incidental about the. Yeah.
He can't
interesting. So you're putting on a level. That's interesting. Let's explore this for a minute. You're saying, of course, if he's managing all right and he's fine, then it would be also. We're talking about that kind of level of physical pain that he just can't operate normally. He's like, it's like in a level of chole she'en bo sakana, which chachamim allowed certain things. You're saying it's that kind of level that he's so finished from the walking that. Interesting. That's interesting. So, of course, somebody who's got slight pain and a blister here, a blister there, forget it, pull yourself together, and Tisha B'Av, don't have you shout. That, but we're talking about somebody that is so exhausted, so finished, on the bordering, bordering illness, and that's why it's permitted. Interesting. Mishnah doesn't seem to him. Look at the words. I don't know how you interpret this. So, Ayofim Machmas Toire Chadech. Ayofim means exhausted because of the way mutter sounds like it's tiredness, exhaustion, as opposed to your level. But maybe you're going to interpret what you're going to interpret that it's that level. I'm really, really struggling with this Mishnah Berurah. It's definitely the best pshat I've encountered. What you were suggesting, it doesn't sound like the Mishnah Berurah though, but it's interesting. Interesting. Okay, similar to that, a similar difficulty. Yeah, you want to say something? Similar difficulties, what comes up now. Says the Ramah, Humutal Ishois, Mapo Bemaim Be'erev Tisha B'Av. Humutal Ishois, Mapo Bemaim Be'erev Tisha B'Av. You're allowed to soak a towel in water before Tisha B'Av. Humutzio Minamayim, you take out the towel from Minamayim, from the water. Vimisnagavis and Mikanach Bar Ponov Yod Vraglov. And you're allowed to wash yourself and clean yourself with this wet towel, the feet and the face. Ponov, face, yodov, hands, regular feet. Although you're doing this for pleasure, sure, it's permitted. Since it's already like semi-dry. So like a semi-dry, moist kind of towel you're allowed to use on Tisha B'Av. So that I hear perhaps because it's not really washing. It's like semi-dry. It's as if you take a towel and you like kind of refresh yourself a bit. Okay. Siv Tezvav. Siv Tezvav. Msicha she'enu asura. Sicha. Smearing. Oil. Enu asura ele shel tanuk. If you are smearing oil on yourself, it's only also if it's tanuk. If it's for pleasure. Aval mi sheyesh lechatotin b'roisha, but if you've got a skin condition on your head, soch kedako, you're allowed to smear the oil on your head, or anywhere really, v'en chosh, you don't have to worry. So if somebody's got a skin condition, and you've got to have some oil, or the equivalent nowadays is
cream.
Yeah, any kind of cream. Whether it's a bit more liquidy, or a bit less, you need to put cream on because you've got a skin condition. Wherever this may be, he's talking about your head, but it doesn't have to be in the head, it could be anywhere. You want to put cream. So sikha is also, if it's for pleasure, you're not allowed to put cream on for pleasure. But if it's medical, like a medical condition, if you do it, you're allowed to do it. Medical is permitted. Yeah. What do you think? Based on what we're seeing over here, what do you think? I think it's fine. Because the Shulchan Aruch says, Sicha Eino Asu Elo Shel Tainuk, it's only forbidden if you're doing it for pleasure. In your instance, you're not doing it for pleasure. Protect your fingers, your skin. Moisturize your, so that's probably considered non-pleasurable. So it's going
to
be permitted.
Would you apply that also to sun cream?
I would have thought so. Although there is a slight smell to it, they're perfumed a little bit. But I don't think it's tanuk. I don't think it's tanuk. I think it's protecting yourself. So I think it's fine. And the Mishneh Berurah over here speaks in Sifkot and Choftes, Kalo Achanes Su'eo. Interesting, a Kalo 30 days after her Chasana. How does that work? Why can she get married in 30 days? Within 30 days? How can she be 30 days after within the Chasana? A Kalo, if she's 30 days within a Chasana.
Why not?
Because it's 3 weeks.
I know,
she got married on the 9th of Tammuz, 10th of Tammuz, whatever.
Right, okay, she just about made it, alright. All of 30 days, muter is lichot, punish allowed to wash her face, and also to smear, anoint herself, that she should look presentable to her husband. So here you go. Kala, for 30 days, she's got the permission of washing her face, and loss of kedeshul is gone. I don't know to what extent this is applied nowadays, but we are finding that there's a certain heter. I find it interesting. There's a certain heter which applies to a kala within 30 days after chasna. She's got a leeway that she'll have to be more lenient with regards to washing her face and anointments generally. There's a heter specific for kala. Yeah, it's makeup generally is more lenient, but it goes in that world. Yeah, it's 30 days after chasna, she'll have to look after herself more than what normally would be permitted. I failed to mention early Mishnah, which is really important, which is if cotton chov base, when it comes to washing your eyes, the Mishnah says, he calls this an istanis, Misho istanis, v'tzoch lekanach ponov b'mayim, v'ein dat mishavis kol yoyim, hachilich mama yikanach. He says an istanis, he has got the leniency of washing his face. He calls it an istanis. How are we going to translate istanis? Somebody's bothered by his face in the morning and he wants to wash his face. How are you going to translate an istanis? Somebody's fussy, somebody's bothered by that. If it's something that's his all day, he's bothered by that, he's an istanis and out to wash. Now this is interpreted by the poskim to a large extent as well. That whenever this is an istanis, he's bothered by something is scratching in his face, not clean, not tidy, he wants to wash his face. It's permitted. An istanis is allowed to wash his face. So the way the poskim understand this is, by definition, whoever is an istanis is allowed to wash himself, even on Tisha B'Av, even more so in the 9 days. So how would that be applied to a more larger, broader interpretation? Exactly. Somebody, the poskim want to say, Reb Shlomo Zalman goes like that if somebody is really bothered, he cannot operate properly because he didn't have a shower, he cannot operate normally. He can't do the 9 days without a shower, and he's generally bothered to an extent that his mind is not settled. He cannot overcome this uncomfortableness. He's an istanis, is allowed to wash himself as much as required. So, the post came on to learn and derive from this Mishnah Berurah. This is the halachas we covered this evening, and we will learn more on this tomorrow. Shema, I wish you a very pleasant evening.